Chapter 35. A excellent sign. I am glad everything seems so right, said Fancy with a breath of relief. And so am I, said the four bridesmaids with much sympathy. Well, bees can't be put off, observed the inharmonious Grandfather James. Arrying a woman is a thing you can do at any moment, but a swarm of bees won't come for the asking. Dick fanned himself with his hat. Can't think, he said thoughtfully, whatever it was I did to offend Mr. Maybold, a man I like so much to. He rather took to me when he came first, and used to say he should like to see me married, and that he'd marry me, whether the young woman I chose lived in his parish or no. I just hinted to him of it, when I put in the banns, but he didn't seem to take kindly to the notion now, and so I said no more. I wonder how it was. I wonder, said Fancy, looking into vacancy with those beautiful eyes of hers too refined, and beautiful for a tranter's wife, but, perhaps, not too good. Altered his mind, as folks will, I suppose, said the tranter. Well, my sonnies, there'll be a good strong party looking at us today as we go along. And the body of the church, said Geoffrey, will be lined with females, and a row of young fellers' heads, as far down as the eyes, will be noticed just above the sills of the chancel winders. Eh, you've been through it twice, said Reuben, and well mid no. I can put up with it for once, said Dick, or twice either, or a dozen times. Oh, Dick, said Fancy reproachfully. Why, dear, that's nothing, only just a bit of a flourish. You be as nervous as a cat today. And then, of course, when 'tis all over, continued the tranter, we shall march two and two round the parish. Yes, sure, said Mr. Penny. Woe and two. Every man hitched up to his woman, I believe. I never can make a show of myself in that way, said Fancy, looking at Dick to ascertain if he could. I'm agreed to anything you and the company like, my dear, said Mr. Richard Dewey heartily. Why, we did when we were married, didn't we, Anne? Said the tranter, and so do everybody, my sonnies. And so did we, said Fancy's father. And so did Penny and I, said Mrs. Penny. Wore my best bath clogs, I remember, and Penny was cross, because it made me look so tall. And so did father and mother, said Miss Mercy on me. And I mean to, come next Christmas, said Nat the groomsman vigorously, and looking towards the person of Miss Vashti Sniff. Respectable people don't nowadays, said Fancy. Till, since poor mother did, I will. Eh, resumed the tranter, 'twas on a white Tuesday when I committed it. Millstock Club walked the same day, and we knew married folk went a-gaying round the parish behind them. Everybody used to wear something white at Whitsuntide in them days. My sonnies, I've got the very white trousers that I wore, at home in box now, and I, Anne? You had till I cut them up for Jimmy, said Mrs. Dewey. And we ought, by rights, after doing this parish, to go round higher and lower Millstock, and call at Viney's, and so work our way hither again across Heath, said Mr. Penny, recovering scent of the matter in hand. Airyman Viney is a very respectable man, and so is Farmer Kex, and we ought to show ourselves to them. True, said the tranter, we ought to go round Millstock, to do the thing well. We shall form a very striking object walking along in rotation. Good now, neighbors? That we shall. A proper pretty sight for the nation, said Mrs. Penny. Hello, said the tranter, suddenly catching sight of a singular human figure standing in the doorway, and wearing a long smock frock of pillowcase cut, and of snowy whiteness. Hi, Leaf. Whatever dost thou do here? I've come to know, if so be I can come to the wedding, said Leaf in a voice of timidity. Now, Leaf, said the tranter reproachfully, you know we don't want thee here today. We've got no room for ye, Leaf. Thomas Leaf, fie upon ye for prying, said old William. I know I've got no head, but I thought, if I washed, and put on a clean shirt and smock frock, I might just call, said Leaf. turning away disappointed and trembling. "Poor feller," said the tranter, turning to Jeffrey. "Oppose we must let en come? His looks are rather against en, and he is terrible silly, but I've never been in jail, and I won't do no harm." Leif looked with gratitude at the tranter for these praises, and then anxiously at Jeffrey, to see what effect they would have in helping his cause. "Eh, let en come," said Jeffrey decisively. "Eef, th apostrophe rt welcome, st no," and Leif accordingly remained. They were now all ready for leaving the house, and began to form a procession in the following order. Fancy and her father, Dick and Susan Dewey, Nat Calcom and Vashti Sniff, Ted Waywood and Mercy On Me, and Jimmy and Bessie Dewey. These formed the executive, and all appeared in strict wedding attire. Then came the tranter and Mrs. Dewey, and last of all Mr. and Mrs. Penny, the tranter conspicuous by his enormous gloves, size 11 and 3 quarters, which appeared at a distance like boxing gloves bleached, and sat rather awkwardly upon his brown hands, this hallmark of respectability having been set upon himself today by Fancy's special request, for the first time in his life. "The proper way is for the bridesmaids to walk together," suggested Fancy. "What? 'Twas always young man and young woman, arm in crook, in my time," said Jeffrey, astounded. "And in mine," said the tranter. "And in ours," said Mr. and Mrs. Penny. "Never heard o' such a thing as woman and woman," said old William, who, with Grandfather James and Mrs. Day, was to stay at home. "Whichever way you and the company like, my dear," said Dick, who, being on the point of securing his right to Fancy, seemed willing to renounce all other rights in the world with the greatest pleasure. The decision was left to Fancy. "Well, I think I'd rather have it the way Mother had it," she said, and the couples moved along under the trees, every man to his maid. "Ah," said Grandfather James to Grandfather William as they retired, "I wonder which she thinks most about, Dick or her wedding raiment." "Well, 'tis their nature," said Grandfather William. "Emmer the words of the prophet Jeremiah. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a brighter attire? Apostrophe, now among dark perpendicular firs, like the shafted columns of a cathedral, now through a hazel copse, matted with primroses and wild hyacinths, now under broad beeches in bright young leaves they threaded their way into the high road over Yalberry Hill, which dipped at that point directly into the village of Jeffrey Day's parish, and in the space of a quarter of an hour Fancy found herself to be Mrs. Richard Dewey, though, much to her surprise, feeling no other than Fancy Day still. On the circuitous return walk through the lanes and fields, amid much chattering and laughter, especially when they came to stiles, Dick discerned a brown spot far up a turnip field. "Why, 'tis Enoch," he said to Fancy. "Thought I missed him at the house this morning. How is it he's left you?" "He drank too much cider, and it got into his head, and they put him in Weatherbury stocks for it. Father was obliged to get somebody else for a day or two, and Enoch hasn't had anything to do with the woods since. We might ask him to call down tonight. Stocks are nothing for once, considering 'tis our wedding day." The bridal party was ordered to halt. "Eno-o-o-o-c-h!" cried Dick at the top of his voice. "Why-a-a-a-a-as!" said Enoch from the distance. "Do you know who I be-e-e-e-e-e?" "No, oh, 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 oh. Dick do W, 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 Y. O, H, 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 H. Just a my aried. O, H, 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 H. This is my wife, Fia Ansi." Holding her up to Enoch's view, as if as he had been a nosegay. "O, H, 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 H. Will ye come across to the party to N-I-I-I-I-I-I-I-I-T? Kia-a-a-ant. Y-N-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O-O Dr. Enoch, said Dick, as they resumed their walk. You mustn't blame men, said Jeffrey. The man's not hisself now. He's in his morning frame of mind. When he's had a gallon of cider or ale, or a pint or two of mead, the man's well enough, and his manners be as good as anybody's in the kingdom. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.